Welcome to the South Burbs Hitmen Podcast with your hosts, Joe Mandel, Steven Zim Zimmerman, and Vinny Parisi. We're bringing you the White Sox coverage you need from the perspective of true Southsiders. Grab your Comiskey dog with an ice cold beer and meet us in Section 155. Everyone get on your feet for your South Burbs Hitmen!
That ball hit deep. Way back. You can put it on the board. Yes. Jimenez in the air. Left field. He's your hero tonight. Thanks, Cubs.
Over the head of Jenks. Uribe charges, throws. Out. And the White Sox have won the World Series.
Alexei. Yes. Yes. Yes! 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 History! A perfect game by Mark Burley, and what an unbelievable play by 21.
First pitch starts now.
What is going on, everybody, and welcome to another special edition of South Burbs Hitmen. I'm one of your hosts, Joe Mandel, and I'm joined, as always, by my White Sox brothers-in-arms, Steven Zim Zimmerman, and our buddy Vinny Parisi is going to be with us a little bit later on today. But Zim, we'll start things off. Three in a row.
That's awesome. I honestly didn't know this team was capable of it, and now they have doubled their amount of wins on the season.
And we're going to plan the parade during the show.
Yeah. So. I mean, frankly, why not? Oh, my goodness. Corey Lee just had a pretty rough pass ball.
All right, maybe we'll cancel the parade. But
yeah. No, that was just a curveball that didn't curve, and he thought it was going to, and it bounced off his glove to the backstop. Oh, well. That's okay. They're in. They've won three in a row. They're in this one, tied 2-2 in the top of the six. Garrett Crochet did let up a big bomb, unfortunately, but held his own other than that. So, you know, it kind of seems like that's the way he's going to be. It reminds me a lot of how Kopech used to pitch. And if he can get it under control, he can really be an ace for this team, I think. It's something that we were skeptical about at the beginning of the year, but he started the season with three great starts. He got lit up last time out, but he bounced back pretty well tonight. So
it's all we can ask for, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, put them in a position to try to win four in a row.
That's it. I mean, and they're in a spot too. Brad Keller's pitching right now, who was the pitcher for one of the most infamous bat flips in White Sox history. But that's okay. That's okay. At least he pitches for the right guys now. So,
yeah, he figured it out, you know. But I tell you, what, Minnesota.
Go ahead.
No. I said, I tell you what, going up against Minnesota, it's a big test. That's all I was going to say.
It is. I mean, speaking of, getting things right, though, you know, fixing it up. You know, I don't think yesterday's win is possible without Eric Fetty doing exactly that. And on top of that, maybe the biggest storyline of the week for baseball, Nike doing the same thing and fixing up these uniforms that have been an absolute disaster for the league through the first few weeks of the season.
Can we talk about just how bad the players union and Major League Baseball shit all over Nike and basically, and even Fanatics? They're like, no, it definitely wasn't Fanatics. It was Nike.
That's rough. Like, when you're exempting Fanatics from something, you know, because Fanatics does not have the best reputation around any atmosphere with any sport, and for people to be like, no, this is not Fanatics' problem, this is a Nike problem, that's a big deal. It reminds me a lot of when the NBA tried to change the ball like 15 years ago or whatever that was now.
Yeah,
I tried to change the ball to that like next wave whatever like super tacky ball or whatever, and all the players were getting like micro cuts all over their fingers. Like, yeah, that's what it feels like. You know, these guys can't slide without busting a seam. That's ridiculous.
Some of these quotes from this article that came out are just absolutely bonkers. So I have to read some of them.
Yeah.
The memo from the union. This is one of the quotes. this has been entirely a Nike issue. At its core, what has happened here is Nike was innovating something that didn't need to be innovated. We cautioned Nike against various changes when they previewed them in 2022, particularly regarding pants. MLB had been and has been aware of our concerns as well. Unfortunately, until recently, Nike's position has essentially boiled down to nothing to see here. Players will need to adjust. Dude.
I'm so glad they walked it back from there.
What's that?
I'm so glad they've walked it back from there at this point. You know,
I remember when they talked to the commissioner like a month ago, he's like, oh no, everything's fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
I'm watching this game right now, and the White Sox pants look like dress slacks. They're wearing the Southside uniforms, by the way.
Oh yeah, Southside Mondays. Yeah,
their pants look like dress slacks, like something you would wear with a tuxedo.
Nice.
And their shirt,
dapper.
It looks like it's too dark, almost like you can't see the pinstripes on it, which is the coolest part of these uniforms.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. but what I was going to say is when it rains, it pours for Nike. They had all kinds of layoffs last week. And then on Sunday afternoon, they get absolutely roasted by MLB and everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm thankful that there seems to be change coming. Hopefully by the All-Star break, there's the old jerseys re-implemented or some other kind of innovation on these jerseys that makes them not garbage. I mean, I genuinely think I would be concerned to wipe my kid's ass with these things in fear of them tearing.
I certainly wouldn't pay $135 for it.
God, no. That's almost as bad as the NFL charging $370 for a replica jersey these days.
How much?
$370. That is what
that's for the replica?
That's for the Vapor Elite Stitch, you know, on-field jersey things that they sell.
Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I won't be buying one of those, but I will get to Caleb Williams at some point. I'm wearing my Bears hat intentionally today.
I am as well.
Oh, yeah, you are. Look at that.
I made my comments, and I will stand by them. I will not buy another quarterback jersey until he signs a second contract. I've made that mistake the last two times, and as much as we all want to believe this time is different, that's what we said the last two times as well. So,
yeah, we'll see.
It's not that I don't think the kid's going to be good. It's not that I don't have faith, anything like that. It's just I can't do it again. I can't have
good, dude.
I've got like 8 Bears jerseys, and the only one I can wear out in public is the Walter Payton jersey because nobody else is on the team anymore.
Yeah, I got my Mac jersey. That's really it.
I got Mac, Mooney, Roquan.
Oh my!
Fields, Trubisky.
I remember when you ordered the Fields. I remember you got it on draft night.
I bought it on draft night. I
remember.
Who's the other one? I got one more.
Urlacher, probably.
No, I think I might be thinking of the Peyton jersey, but regardless, Cutler. I do have a Cutler jersey, actually. You're right.
Yeah, I was like, this guy's a Denver guy. I'm sure he's got a Cutler laying around.
Of course. You know, my White Sox jerseys right now are Abreu and Anderson. So can't really wear those at the moment either. You know, maybe in a few years, the Anderson one will be cool to whip out again. The Abreu one for sure.
I got a World Series authentic Pasetnik, which I don't wear.
That's sweet.
It stays on the hanger. And then I have an Eloy.
My point remains that I'm just not very good at picking out jerseys. So I'll wait till the guy signs a second contract at this point. Then again, he'll probably change his number when he signs a second contract. So
I told myself
Jalen Johnson.
Yeah, I know. I told myself if I buy another White Sox jersey, I'm just going to buy a Frank Thomas.
I think that's a good plan. It's a safe bet. And like, I never understood.
Sure.
Yeah.
Arguably the best White Sox of all time.
I never understood why people would tell me like, don't buy a jersey unless it's for like a guy who's already retired. You know, Aldo has a big, has a big policy about that. And I never understood it until recently. So I start looking at my closet and go, man, this is like $1,000 worth of jerseys that.
Yard sale.
Yeah.
This is completely random, Zim, but did you see how many games back the White Sox are right now?
I have not checked how many games back the White Sox are right now. I'm sure it is not pretty.
Well, Cleveland leads the division at 19-9.
Okay.
In second place is Kansas City at 17-12.
Look at them go.
Detroit, not far behind, at 16-12. And then at one game above 500 is Minnesota at 14-13.
And then there's the White Sox.
And there's the White Sox at 6-22 on April 29th, a blistering 13 games out of first.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
13 game win streak. Here we go.
You know, honestly, though, they're already on a 3-game win streak. They've got the momentum tonight. I wouldn't count them out just yet.
I'm going to my first game of the season next Friday, so maybe they'll...
That's right. Harry Potter night's coming up.
Yeah. Excelsior. Or Expecto Patronum. Side note. No, go ahead.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, you were talking about jerseys. Did you by chance see the Rays City Connect jersey that they announced today?
No, I have not. The last one I saw was the Philly uniform. Yeah, let's see it.
Let's give me your thoughts on it.
I don't actually hate it. I think that's pretty clean.
It might be the cleanest one that I think I've seen so far.
The piping down the side of the pant is what really gets me. The green belt is an interesting choice for sure. But yeah, I tell you, that piping really catches the eye. That's the cool part about it to me.
It feels like 1998 for sure.
It does. It reminds me of the old Devil Rays, which...
And I think that's...
I'm sure totally that's intentional. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, like I said, the last ones I saw was Philly, which there's some teams in my beer league softball that have jerseys that look pretty similar.
Well, you see the Mets basically ripped off the South Side jerseys?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That doesn't surprise me.
It's the same font.
When have the Mets ever done anything original? Come on now.
They couldn't even play baseball
in their own city.
When they had Tim Tebow in the minors, that's probably the last original thing they did.
You know, there was nothing wrong with calling themselves the New Jersey Mets and playing just across the river. And no, we're going to play in the crummy part of the city, call ourselves the New York Mets, have a crummy stadium.
Wait, sign crummy players. There's like a part of the city that's considered crummy in New York?
Well, come on.
You mean that's more crummy than the crummy part?
I mean...
The Yankee fans are going to come after me. I believe me, I love going to New York. I usually go once a year. My wife has an event she goes to for work. But no one can tell me and sit there and say it's a clean city.
I didn't say it was clean by any means. I'm just saying there are some areas that are a little more upscale than others.
I hear you. I enjoy the walk around New York, at least in the decent parts.
It's an enjoyable city. I've only been once, but I really enjoyed my time there.
I enjoy like the smell of hot garbage. But then again, I can get that in parts of Chicago too. So
you could also just drive over to Detroit. Half the city's just burning garbage.
I mean, I could have. I thought about it for the draft the other day, and then I'm like, look at all those maniacs there. You know, they built that giant thing just for the draft. Like that
doesn't surprise me. What else are they gonna do in Detroit?
They did a hell of a job though. I'll give them that.
They absolutely did. Like I, as much as I dog on the city of Detroit, like it looked great. It looked like a real experience. I hope it was really close to hotels so that people didn't have to worry about their stuff.
I'm sure. It looked like it was in the good part of Detroit.
Yeah.
I'm sure Mom's Spaghetti got all kinds of business, which by the way, I don't know if you even know what Mom's Spaghetti is. It's M&M's spaghetti restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no world where I would wait in a line to get spaghetti served to me in a box that probably is just, no disrespect to M&M, but like, how good could it be?
Honestly, it's spaghetti.
It's probably just jarred sauce. I mean, they slop it on there. I saw one review that said it was just like cafeteria food. I mean, I get it. You're going to see the M&M museum that's in the store. I get it.
Right.
even then, there's a million. I'd rather have Detroit style pizza, which don't crap on it till you tried it. Detroit style pizza is excellent.
I love Detroit style pizza. I have to be in the right mood for it, but I mean, I think that's where my love for Pequod's comes into play. Is that like, it's a good combination of Detroit and Chicago style pizza.
I'm totally on board with that.
So
you ever had a Jets pizza?
Yes.
Jets is good for a chain. Yeah. It's probably the best chain.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, we've got that out here. Yeah, we've got a Giordano's out here as well now that I've been meaning to try to get to, just to like see if it actually holds up, you know.
I know every time I go to Vegas, they have one right in the middle of the strip. Mm-hmm. My wife and I always joke. We're like, I heard this pizza's amazing. You should try it. I'm like, the last place I'm going to get a Giordano's pizza. And again, there's a lot of tourists that certainly are going to go there.
They don't know, right.
And I'm not shitting on it. I'm just saying I wouldn't go to Vegas and be like, oh, I need a deep dish pizza.
Yeah, that's honestly probably, I don't know. How late are they open?
That's a good point. But there's so many pizza places, you know.
You're rolling out at 3 a.m. A deep dish pizza might actually really hit the spot when you're 11 beers deep.
It hits the spot a lot more if I can take a walk after.
Yeah. So.
And if I'm eating it at 3 a.m., I ain't taking no walk probably.
But if it's in the middle of the strip, you have the option to at least.
Fair enough. Yeah, it's right in front of Horseshoe Casino in the middle of the bazaar shops.
Yeah. Now, speaking of food, we're supposed to be getting a Portillo's out here sometime soonish. I don't know exactly how soon, but one of these days.
My camera just blurred up, lost focus.
Yeah, man. I saw that. It looks like it might have focused on your microphone instead of you.
I have no idea why it's doing this. Anyway, sorry. It'll come back eventually.
Eventually. It's okay. People are on here to listen to our boring opinions, not to look at our ugly faces.
Yeah, sometimes they get two for the price of one, but
that's right.
Cover it up and see if that works. But anyway, deep dish pizza. Now I want it. They sell Gino's East deep dish pizza in the freezer section, and they're actually not bad. Do they have those by you too?
We've got some kind of deep dish out here. I'm not the biggest fan of deep dish, so I don't really mess with it too much. But I like thin crust. That's all. Thin crust Chicago style is more my
like tavern. You look at tavern style
pizza. Yeah, exactly. Wow.
Did you ever have Vito and Nick's when you were out this way?
I've not. No.
Next time you're in Chicago, it's the top of the mountain. Well, one of the top of the mountains. And the next time we're by Sox Park, we'll get you a Phil's pizza. Because for me, that's the pinnacle.
There's a good chance I'm going to try to be out there next season. I don't think I can make it out this year.
I don't blame you.
Well, I'm also planning to move this summer and busy. That's going to take its toll. I'm hoping to go visit some family out there next year. So
there you go, buddy. We'll have to link up for sure.
Absolutely.
And one of these days we'll get to go to Vegas together.
One of these days we'll make it happen.
With all the comps you have flying around.
But I mean, honestly,
I just found out you can't chain those together. So
you can if you do it right, but you gotta know how to work.
You can't do it like for the same stay.
Right. So it's fine.
Anyway, you'll use your two night ones. That's all good.
That's it. All right. I was hoping Vinny'd be here by now. I think we've vamped about all we can, though. I think it's time we get into all of it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we can. Yeah, we're not doing Pedro's pen just yet. But we can say that, listen, the last week of White Sox baseball, and this isn't saying much, it's the most entertaining week that we've had so far.
Look, they look like a competent team. I'm not sure if it was Tommy Pham or Caleb Williams who broke them out of the slump, but one of the two guys had to have some impact on this.
I know
team
what it was. It was neither, maybe a little bit of Caleb Williams, but it was that White Sox hockey jersey they gave away on Saturday.
You know, that's fair. That's fair. They started winning as soon as they gave that thing away.
I'm fairly certain because, I mean, it is pretty sick. I mean, look at that thing.
That thing is sweet. So maybe they should just wear those on the field instead.
And I heard the place was jammed. And you, and yeah, you
I saw were... a few videos. Shout out to the guys on Sox and 35th podcast who did some coverage from the stadium that day. It was popping. They did some interviews with fans. People were there. I tell you, if they'd have used my idea for the last 20,000 fans to leave, it would have probably been more popping. But
that's certainly an idea, Zim.
I'm telling you, they'd get people to stay the whole game that way.
They'd have to lower their prices a little bit for that to happen. Although they do have $5 Tuesdays all year long, which is pretty cool.
You know, this tells you how much I've watched this team this year. I didn't know Tim Hill was on the team, and he's had 10 games already this season. So I've been a little out of touch.
They called up Tommy Pham, didn't they?
They did. Yeah. He's been on the team since Friday.
I was going to say,
Tommy Pham has not lost a game with the White Sox. He does not know what it's like to lose a game as a member of the Chicago White Sox. What a lucky fella.
Look at that. He's hitting 357 as a member of the White Sox.
He's injected some much needed offense into this team. Eloy Jimenez returned and went on a tear this last week.
Yeah, none of us picked him either.
And Andrew Benintendi's bat finally woke up. You know, it's been slumbering for about a season and 29 games, but it woke up.
Hey, it woke up. You picked him, and you would have won it any other week, except I picked Gavin Sheets this week.
Yeah.
He also had a heck of a week.
I tell you, I want to argue it with the walk-off, but, I mean, what is arguing it going to do for us? What are we doing here?
Yeah. No, it's all good.
My ego's not hurt. My pride is still intact.
You know who leads the White Sox in RBI over the last 7 days?
Isn't it Eloy?
It is not.
Oh, I thought it was.
Nope. He had 5, which was impressive. But there's one other person that had double the amount of RBI of Eloy this week. He had 10 ribbies.
Was it Vaughn?
Nope.
Oh, I don't know.
Benny Buttcheeks. Andrew Benintendi. 10 ribbies. Wow. 15 total bases. He went... He went 8 for 22 with an OPS of 1.045.
That's what I'm saying, man. He finally woke up a little bit. It's been much needed. Somebody was going to have to do it to wake this team up, to get him out of it. And I'm glad it's the guy who's currently in possession of the richest contract in White Sox history.
So. Yeah, I can't believe none of us picked him last week. I'm stunned.
I picked him the week before. That's why. And then he was absolute dog water. Yeah. So.
Whew, fun stuff. Well, hey, that's a surprise. Our guy, Dominic Fletcher.
He's got a few runs scored.
Yeah. Is he just not playing?
He hasn't been playing. I'm not sure.
He had 5 at-bats last week. I'm just wondering if he's a little banged up or if he's just riding the pine.
No, he's been riding the pine, and I'm not 100% sure why. Let me see if I can find
it. Well, didn't he have that bad outfield play last week? Wasn't that him that just dropped that ball?
I think so. Ortega has been playing in his place. I was trying to look it up because I couldn't remember. I knew it was new to the team.
Ortega only had 1 at bat last week.
Did he? He's out there tonight. So, oh, it's Grossman. That's why. Grossman, Benintendi, and Pham have been out in the outfield. Well,
Grossman was hideous last week. He batted like 79, and then he hit 200 this week. So, like,
and Fletcher was sent back down to the minors.
Okay, well, that would explain it.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure what this team is doing, to be completely honest. They're favoring I really think that they believe they can compete. Like, it's a little embarrassing, if I'm being perfectly honest, but they keep playing all of these mediocre veterans in place of these developing youngsters. And it's really frustrating to see when you know that they're probably not making the playoffs. when you know that they're probably not going to have any all-stars. The only way they're going to have an all-star this year is if they adopt NHL pitcher. Rules.
It'd be a pitcher.
So,
but I will say again, DeJong has been horrible. And then this week, Shoemaker only had 6 at bats, but he got a hit in 2 out of 6.
Mm-hmm.
So why are you not playing Shoemaker? I'm kind of not sure what's going on, but
DeJong is a very streaky guy. He has been his whole career.
He's streaky, all right. I know he's defensively.
I'm waiting. Yeah, I'm waiting for it to become positive. You know, for it to flip. But it's what it is. You know, we don't make these rules. But yeah, it's just it's all over the place. You know, they're favoring guys like Maldonado over Oscar Cuero. They're favoring guys like Robbie Grossman over Oscar Colas. They're favoring guys like Paul DeJong over Shoemaker. Excuse me.
You know what?
Andrew... And the list just goes on and on and on of all of these guys that they're favoring over these young players that they could be developing when it's so clear that they're not contending.
Do you want to know what Andrew Vaughn's WAR is?
It's got to be like a minus 1.2 or something like that.
It's minus 0.9.
Okay. Hey, I was pretty dang close.
Do you know what Andrew Benintendi's WAR is?
Probably pretty close to zero at this point.
It's negative 1.0. Wow. He has the highest, lowest WAR, I guess, on the team.
But, I mean, that's pretty bad. When you're talking about two guys that last season, at least, you know, I don't know what the expectations were for those guys this year. Oh, I don't think we had much expectations for this team. But for two guys that last year were supposed to start being leaders for this team, supposed to start carrying them.
That's brutal, bro.
To effectively have lost you two games over the course of this season.
There's two guys that are tied for the lead in WAR on this team. You could probably name one, and the other one will really surprise you.
Garrett Crochet?
Okay, I'm looking offensively.
Looking offensively? Okay.
I can go check pitchers right after this.
No, it's okay, because pitching WAR is a totally different stat. So batting WAR.
The one name will not surprise you. You'll probably get it right away.
Okay. So the one name, so is it Eloy?
No.
Is Luis Robert?
No.
Oh.
I was going to say it's the guy who's been the most offensive, leading all the categories for the White Sox. This season.
Gavin Sheets?
Yes. Gavin Sheets leads the team in WAR at 0.4.
And you say the second one is somebody that I wouldn't expect.
The second person is tied with him, and it is so not anyone you would expect.
Is it Martin Maldonado?
It certainly is not. Okay. Maldonado's WAR is at -0.07. Or 0.7. -0.7.
That's wild.
I'll preface it with this one. This guy has been hurt for a while.
So is that? No.
Yeah, it's probably who you're thinking.
Is it Moncada?
It's Moncada. He's tied for the lead, the league of the team in WAR in 0.4.
It makes sense. He was the only one hitting for the first 3 weeks of the season. I mean, he actually looked like he was on pace for a pretty good season before he hurt himself. And now we're just hoping he's back by the end of summer.
And he played for 11 games.
Mm-hmm.
And Cheats has played in 24.
Mm-hmm. Oh, look at that. Michael Kopech coming on in the eighth inning. I will not understand that. I will never understand why Kopech is an eighth inning guy.
Well, you know what's going to happen. Anytime he comes in the eighth inning, he gets destroyed. I hope I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to find out.
I get it. I mean, he's got 2 saves this season, and they were both from the eighth inning. So
that's fair. I'm thinking the past seasons, but yeah.
No, right. I mean, he's gotten rocked a few times out there this season. He's got at least one loss, I know.
I forgot. It's dog day at the park. They have to win today.
Oh, yeah. They always win on dog day.
I should have bet the White Sox.
Weirdly.
Yeah, they usually do pretty good on dog day.
So
I'm going to bring my Great Dane one of these days. But
you should.
He'll eat a wiener dog. He'll be 100% on TV. There's no doubt.
You can eat a Polish while he eats a wiener dog and call it a day.
You can eat a Polish while he eats a wiener. Tito's Handmade Vodka sponsors Dog Day. Interesting.
Yeah, it's been Tito's the last few years, if I remember right.
You are 100% right, because I have the logo. At least I thought I did. I probably do. Oh, no, here it is. Yeah, you're right. Here.
There it is. So, yeah. It's been nice getting to see this team win, actually being interested in this team on a Monday night.
When's the last time they were actually in a game when we were on the air? I don't know if I could
That's
tell you.
It. I don't know the last time. Well, it was probably last season or the first week of the season when I had, you know, the Sox game up next to our show. It's very nice.
Yeah. A week ago they lost 7-0 to the Twins. Although I will say last week it didn't hurt so bad because we had Ken Smoller on. Ken Smoller on talking about Last Comiskey. That book comes out actually this week. So go pick it up and order it from lastcomiskeybook.com.
It's been in my head all week thinking about that conversation we had with him. It was awesome. It was a great time. If anybody missed the show, you should definitely go back and listen to it, because Ken is not, he's not one of those media guys. He's not out there to try to tell you something that isn't accurate. He's not out there to try to push an agenda or anything like that, because it's going to sell whatever.
Yeah.
He's out there to tell you what it was like as a fan. It was really great for me to hear about it, because I wasn't able to go to Old Comiskey, to be able to talk to him about a lot of cool experiences that he's had. Just a great show. Again, if you haven't listened to it, go back, listen to it. It's worth a listen.
Highly, highly recommend it. On the week before that, the Sox lost to the Royals 2-0. The week, oh my God, Zim. I just caught this out. They've been shut out on every Monday night of this season. On week one, they lost 9-0. On April 1st to the Braves. On April 8th, they lost to the Guardians 4-0. On the 15th, they lost to the Royals 2-0. And they lost to the Twins last week 7-0 and are currently tied 2-2. So they actually scored some runs today.
That's it. Granted, it was in the first inning. But they've been pretty okay tonight. You would like to see them get some of these base runners that they've had all the way around. That's a problem that they've struggled with since Grifol has taken over as manager, though. Their offensive approach with the last two seasons has been poop.
I just don't understand how they could literally have how they could even keep him now. You know what?
I don't know. I heard some rumblings over the past week that there were talks about getting rid of him. But the names that I saw involved with it were all Royals guys.
Sounds awesome.
I'm like, why would you do that? Why? Haven't we learned?
Since we're talking about him, let's dive into this week's edition of Pedro's Pen. He won 3 in a row. Yeah, Pedro's Pen, boys. Boy. Vincenzo's out there somewhere in the wind. listen, Pedro had a good weekend. I will say he didn't have the greatest week against the Twins. Like I said, started things off with getting shut out last Monday against the Twins, and then they lost three more straight against the Twins. But I'll take the 3 in a row. I mean, they look good against the Rays, although I suppose it's not that hard to do. But again, they're a better team than the White Sox, so it's not saying a whole lot. Saturday was almost a loss, but they managed to come back.
That was awesome. It really was. Nothing better than seeing the Bears draft a punter on the same day that the White Sox get their first walk-off of the season.
Yeah. I didn't expect the punter thing, that's for sure.
I definitely didn't. I didn't know who this was. No, I did know who that guy was, but I didn't like know who he was, if that makes sense. You know what
I mean. But those Aussies can kick the shit out of the ball.
They can. I mean, back when Pat O'Donnell was still the Bears punter, he used to give credit all the time to Australian kickers for teaching him how to place the ball correctly. You know, not just to kick it downfield, but to put it where he wanted it and to make sure it stayed where he wanted it.
Heck yeah, man. It's an important piece. Again, we don't have to go too far off the deep end. We're talking about Pedro, but I will say I enjoyed the Bears draft, and I think a lot of Bears fans did.
Yeah. It was a fun weekend, that's for sure. Even if you don't like any of the players, like the draft is always a fun time. Doesn't really matter what you think of the guys at the end of the day. They're on the team you root for. And again, it's a fun time no matter what, because there's always the unexpectedness. And speaking of that unexpectedness, I feel like we get a lot of that with Pedro Grifol because
nice segue, you don't know
what to expect from this guy. Half the time, he's this all-star guy making the right challenge at the right time, swapping in the right pitcher. And the other half the time,
hold on, did you just call Pedro an all-star?
I said half the time.
Half the time?
And the other half the time, I'm pretty sure he thinks it's MLB The Show out there.
Your math's not adding up, dude. The record is not like half and half.
Well, I didn't say it was half the games. It was half the time. All right. That means he could have one good half inning and a bad half inning side by side. And that's if one fair. Of those innings is on offense and the other one's on defense, well, let me tell you which one this team is more capable of screwing up.
I think Pedro's just alienated me so much that I'm just.
He's really good with his challenges. You know, he picks the right time for them. He uses them in moments where they actually matter rather than just like throwing willy-nilly challenges out there.
Okay, I'll give you that.
That's the one thing, like so far this season, I've really been impressed with. Every time I've seen him challenge, it was a play worthy of being challenged at a point in the game that actually mattered. So if I have to give him credit anywhere, and I saw a few of them this week, which is what makes me think of it. There was one in tonight's game, and I think two others over the course of the last week. He does a good job with it. It's the one thing I can't fault him on. I don't think I've ever seen him make a challenge that I was like totally against.
Okay. I dig that. I like it. And I got to give props to the stadium crew too, because when there's a challenge going on, they play "Tell Me Something Good."
That's great.
And it's, I don't know. I love that nice little touch.
Yeah. No, it's awesome.
They'll play "Let It Be, Let It Be, Let It Be."
There was a challenge at the Rockies game I went to last week, and I don't recall anything like that happening other than me and the guy next to each other, or me and the guy next to me, like looking at each other. I mean, like, really? I thought the play before this is the one that should have been challenged, not this one, but whatever.
Yeah. "Tell Me Something Good" and then "Let It Be." And when they're reviewing it, it's like the guitar solo of "Let It Be." So I'm like, all right, I'm vibing pretty good. Yeah.
Nice. Nice. Good George Harrison guitar solo. It's always something nice to listen to.
Absolutely, man. So. And for those of you who don't know, that have not been to a game, the White Sox do cool stuff like that in the stadium all the time.
The White Sox stadium environment is awesome. It really is. Great question in chat from PZ. If Pedro had 25 pitchers, would he use every one of them in 1 week? No. Would all in about 4 days.
Yeah, he'd use them all by Wednesday.
Yeah, by the end of the week, two of those guys would be on the IL.
Well, that's what's going to happen to Crochet.
I worry about it, but at the same time, he's got that surgically reconstructed arm. He seems really confident with it.
What I like
is seems like he's going to throw the ball through the stadium. So
that's what I'm worried about with him too. I was about to say the one thing I do like the Crochet is not throwing crazy hard.
Yeah.
I mean, he's throwing hard, but he's not trying to put it through your chest.
That's it. I worry about Kopech. He's starting to get kind of a pointy elbow, and a pointy elbow is not usually a good thing. But I might be overanalyzing and it's been there the whole time. So I'm not going to go out there and pretend like I'm some medical expert.
Watch tomorrow. He's Tommy John. And I'll be like, damn it, Zim.
No, I think that might just be his anatomy. But again, pointy elbows generally are not a great thing to have as a pitcher. It's usually indicative of something else going on under the skin, but you never know.
Something good?
No.
I know.
Joe, I don't know how to explain this to you. Growths on your body are not good.
Oh. we have too much fun on this show, guys. Man, I had to mute. That's the first time I laugh coughed for a while.
Good. Good. Glad that we can bring some kind of positivity to someone's life tonight.
That's right. And to think I was this close because of work and not canceling the show tonight. And Zim made a valid point. He's like, they won 3 in a row. I'm like, yeah, I know.
This might be the only time this season we get to come on the air in this high of spirits. So I thought we should take advantage of it.
This is fair. I have no idea what time Vinny's getting here. He may not get here at all. We'll find out.
He might not, you know, and that's kind of his problem, not ours.
he had a dinner. I believe it was Katie's sister's birthday. So happy birthday, Katie's sister. I apologize. I don't know your name, but happy birthday. And Vinny is either going to be here soon or he is in a food coma.
Sounds good.
Or playoff hockey's on. I don't know. I should probably check.
I'm there sure is, there's playoff.
There's 100% hockey. playoff hockey on right now. Well, obviously, you know what? Let's just do this anyway. Let's take a look at the upcoming week. Obviously, we know they're playing the Twins right now. Mm-hmm. But let's preview the West of the White Sox week on White Sox Weekly. Yeah, aforementioned, of course, we're playing against the Twins. We got a 3-game set today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Wednesday's weather day at the park. It used to be Tom Skilling would come out, but I don't know who it is anymore now that he retired. Maybe Tom will still come out for all I know. Then they travel to St. Louis for a 3-game set with the Cards starting on Friday. I have to look at the schedule. Are they going up against Lance Lynn, or did he go on the IL?
I honestly, I don't know. I know they were expected to go up against Lance Lynn.
Let me pull up.
But I'm honestly not sure.
It is TBD.
Yeah.
For the rest of the series. The only thing I know for sure is they're going to get Sonny Gray on Friday, and he is on a roll to start the year.
Yes.
He has got a 1.16 ERA. He's 3-1 with 32 Ks. What did that guy put in his Wheaties? I want it.
I don't know, man. He might have found a way around this tackiness stuff that they tried to make rules around, but that's about the only thing I can think of that would really cause him to come out of his shell like that.
Yeah, and of course the Sox, Crochet versus Joe Ryan today. Tomorrow you get Michael Soroka going up against Semien Woods-Richardson, who has been one of the most consistent pitchers for Minnesota. Again, he's 1-0, 2.45 ERA, 11 Ks. And then they got to go against Bailey Ober on Wednesday and Chris Flexen, who has been very underwhelming for me and for most over the course of the season. He's 1-3 with a 5.11 ERA with only 13 Ks. Works ahead of him. The works ahead of him. I think specifically Wednesday is probably the toughest matchup this week. But, hey, they won 3 in a row. I don't think any of us would have said that last week.
That's it. That's just it.
And go and see the boys play in St. Louis. That'll be fun. I want to catch a game there. I drove by the stadium last 2 summers ago for one of my wife's friends' weddings. And I really want to check it out because it looks really cool.
Yeah, it's still Busch Stadium out there, right?
Yes, it is still Busch Stadium.
It's
at the moment.
Always, for now. Yeah. It's always looked like a good stadium. I've heard it's not in the greatest part of St. Louis, but then again, I don't think there is a great part of St. Louis. So,
yeah, I think that's probably accurate based off of my stay there. But I had some killer barbecue while I was there.
You know, there's a reason that Chicago tried to bury the city in shit once upon a time. That's all I gotta say about that.
They do have some nasty poo holes. What a terrible joke.
Yeah.
Come for the laughs, stick around for the bad dad jokes.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. There's a large amount of people that are watching this show right now. So I appreciate you if you're one of those people.
Listening to us make poop jokes.
I mean,
sometimes it's more entertaining than watching the White Sox.
I was going to say that is going to be one and the same here. Once they start this losing streak back up.
Well, you know, they keep doing this small ball stuff to try to advance runners because it seems to be the only way they can get a guy on second base. And then they still can't do anything. So I don't understand what the point is.
Yeah, we sort of did this already talking about stats, but we may as well dive in. You know what? We'll go on the opposite end of it. We'll go with the stinky side. And this week's who is not good, not good at all. Would you call them an Adam Dud? Who is this week's Adam Dud of the week? Let's find out.
You suck.
You suck. Suck.
Stupid. Ozzy. Lucius.
What a dud. What a total, total dud.
Man, there's a few. There is a few on this list, Sam. I don't even know where to start. I mean, we still won three games. I'm not taking that away from anybody.
No, you can't.
But I think I'm going to go with Paul DeJong. He's been brutally awful.
He's been really bad.
He went 3-for-22 this week. Struck out 11 times. Absolutely abysmal. How many RBIs did he have? Two. And that's amazing that he even hit two. I mean, Robbie Grossman's been negligent the last 2 weeks. Like, that's a guy who I was on the fence for a couple weeks ago.
That's it. Grossman might be mine. I wanted to give it to Vaughn, but like, he's actually been good over the weekend. Like, he woke up over the weekend is the thing.
Yeah, he did.
So that's the tough part for me.
There's some pitchers that are definitely worthy too.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're looking at
I'm going to stick with Grossman.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick with Grossman.
He bat 200 this week with zero RBI. So.
Well, even Martin Maldonado had a better week at the plate than him. Yeah. And like, if Maldonado's having a better week at the plate than you, you're not having a good week.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's no slight on Maldonado, but that's not where he's made his living. It's not the player he is.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone had a worse week on the White Sox than Jonathan Cannon.
Yeah.
He pitched 8 1/3. He gave up 10 runs.
Yeah. Is he still on the team right now?
I would be stunned if he was.
With all of these moves that they've made over the last couple of days. Let's see.
Yeah, he's back to AAA.
That's what I thought.
Shocker.
Yeah, Cannon and Davey Garcia.
Yeah, Garcia had a bad week.
He was outright designated.
Crochet had a rough week last week.
And then, I don't know if you saw, they sent Kevin Pillar down. And he elected free agency over playing in the minors. So
I'm sure he'll end up on a contender and he'll be magically good again.
Probably not.
Probably not. You're right. I'm just being an optimist.
That's one that I'll stand by.
Oh, I forgot. I promised earlier to look at pitching WAR. Hold on.
Okay. Well, no, I lost it. I was going to say, while you're looking something up, I got something for you, but I forgot.
So. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It wasn't important.
This is stunning to me.
Hmm.
The leader in the White Sox, it's not surprising that the leader on the White Sox in WAR is a pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not who you would think, and that pitcher has a 1.5 WAR.
Is it Fetty?
Yes, it is.
Yeah!
Nice work, dude.
I'm telling you, man, he has been sneaky good this season. He really has been.
I'm looking at this right now. He's got 34 1/3 pitched. 10 earned runs, out of those 10 homers, out of those 10 earned runs, he's got 6 homers.
Yeah.
So his runs are coming from homers.
Mm-hmm.
He struck out 39. He's only walked 9. 2 quality starts and 6 starts total. He's won 2 games.
Yep.
His ERA is 2.6. I mean, honestly, the guy, if he pitches like this, he'll probably be an all-star.
No, he won't, because he plays for the White Sox.
He wins the Cy Young.
We all scoffed when they signed the guy, but I mean, it's looking good right now. It's turned out to be a pretty good signing.
What's Garrett Crochet's? Okay. That's interesting. What's Garrett Crochet's WAR?
0.7.
No, it's 0.
It's 0. That is surprising.
Yes, it is.
Eloy just got struck out on a pitch where the pitcher was walking off the mound before he even swung.
I mean,
that was embarrassing. That guy knew he had him rung up.
Nothing like it, man.
I tell you, as a pitcher, that's got to feel good, though.
So yeah, for sure. So we're talking about the pitcher with the highest WAR in the White Sox. Who has the lowest WAR?
Is it Gannon? He's gone though, so it doesn't count.
It's not. The guy is gone, but Cannon's WAR in this limited appearance is -0.1. But the guy who leads has the worst WAR on the team is -0.7. You spoke of him a little while ago.
Garcia?
Yeah.
Yeah. It sucks. He looked really good to start the season and immediately fell off.
Nick Nastrini sitting at -0.2.
Yeah, but he's only been with them for a couple weeks now, so.
Yeah, Tanner Banks, -0.4.
That's okay. If they're under one, you know, if they're between -1 and 1, I consider that acceptable. It's just you don't want a team full of guys like that. And yeah, we're getting to the point in the season. You know, it's still early enough in the season that it's acceptable to be in that range. But
Relief pitcher who's the second on the team in WAR. This is a name that may surprise you, with a 0.6.
Leisure?
Yes, dude. Nice.
I know my pitchers for some reason. I don't have a real reason, but yeah, so we're getting to the point in the season where, like, your league leader in WAR, there's only 2 players in the entire league that have a WAR above 2 right now.
Who are they?
Well, I'll give you a hint. I want to see if you can guess. Okay. One guy is having, like, one of the best starts to the season we've seen since A-Rod.
No, it's a lot of guys playing really well. Soltani?
No. Teammate.
Oh my God. Mookie Betts?
Mookie Betts. Leading the league with almost a 3 WAR.
Jesus.
And second place is a guy that the White Sox had a chance at. Probably should have gotten. And instead, they thought that Larry Garcia was going to solve their problems.
Machado?
Ketel Marte.
Yes. Oh, yeah, he's on my fantasy team.
He is second in the league in WAR.
It doesn't surprise me after all the stats he's been putting up for me.
Yeah, he's been going bonkers to start the year. So good on him. But again, with only 2 players in the league, you know, above a 2, it's not really panic time if players are, you know, if they're still in that range of like -1 to 1, you know, that's a perfectly acceptable range. You would like to see 1 or 2 guys on your team raise above that level. And the White Sox don't have a single player in the top 50 in the league in WAR. The Rockies even have a guy on this list.
Fetty's not in the top 50 at 1.5.
I'm strictly talking batting.
Offensive, yeah.
Yeah, let's see. I mean, pitching, Eric Fetty is actually sixth in the league in WAR.
That's impressive, dude.
And he is the only White Sox on this list.
I'm not surprised at all by that. Especially after talking about our offensive leader in WAR is 0.4. So,
yeah. I am looking for Dylan Cease is also not in the top 50 to start the year, though. So
he had a couple bad starts, but he had a couple really good ones.
He had a couple really good ones. So, I don't know. But Reynaldo Lopez is also there. That's a former White Sox.
I picked Reynaldo Lopez off fantasy waivers, and he's eligible as a reliever. So I have him on my team as a reliever.
Very nice. Another former White Sox, Jose Quintana, is in the top 50 in WAR so far this season.
Dude, this might sound terrible. And I don't even remember. Who does he play for these days? I don't even remember.
Another one in Carlos Rodon.
Well, I know who he plays for.
The White Sox could have a really good rotation right now, but they need a better farm system, so that's more important.
But you mean Chris Getz this week was talking about how amazing the farm system is, though?
Having good players in the minor leagues is far more important than having good players in the major leagues.
Right.
Quintana's on the Mets.
Okay, I knew that.
Yeah.
How old, man, Jose Quintana's got to be probably late 30s now?
35. He okay, is your mid-30s. Age, sir.
My age, exactly. Jeez, I'm talking about him like he's ancient. Shit.
It's a miracle. He's the oldest player in the league. He's gone through several reconstructive surgeries, and the fact that he's out there is a testament to his perseverance.
Good for
this
him.
Guy is 2 years younger than me.
Well, there were a couple guys that did good, real good this week, and those are the opposite of a dud. I would say there are, put it on the board, players of the week.
Ball hit deep. Way back. He looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes!
Nothing like playing the wrong clip. Yeah, close enough. That one. That
you got to take those old ones out of there, man.
Yeah, I know. Although, it's going to be a while before we have a moment that's worthy compared to the stock off.
That is absolutely fair. That is probably, I mean...
It's going to be a while.
Easily the biggest moment of the decade for White Sox fans.
That's my whole office. I mean, I have all Field of Dream stuff, and I have some of the sand from the field in my framed picture my wife got me for Christmas last year.
Like 2 years. Moments of the century for White Sox fans, at least. Moments of the century, that's probably number three. Maybe number two.
Yeah. Are they doing the Field of Dreams game this year?
I don't know. I feel like they are, but I feel like I don't remember. I feel like it was teams nobody gave a shit about. So it was like, why are you even doing this? But I mean, the last out of the 05 World Series is easily one of those moments. The stock off is up there. The blackout game. Mark Burley's perfect game.
Hmm.
You know, as upsetting as it is, it feels like Philip Umber's perfect game is like so low on the top moments for White Sox fans because it was Philip Umber. And like, that feels mean to him. He did something that
I remember that day still.
I mean, every time I see the last out, it kind of makes me chuckle. It was such a bad pitch he got him out on.
Yeah. Completely random. Zim, I did Google it. They are doing a Field of Dreams game this year. It is on June 20th.
And it's like San Francisco and New York or something.
The Cardinals and the Giants.
Yeah, there you go. The Cardinals and the Giants. Like, what? What are we doing here? What are we doing here? I tell you what, you want to move the White Sox out of Chicago? You put them in the middle of a cornfield in Iowa. They will sell out every single game, all 3,000 seats.
They could do that now. No, they couldn't do that now. I can tell you for sure there were some games last week that there was not 3,000 people there.
But I tell you, even if you were doing top Chicago sports moments of the century, I think the stock off would be top 25 still. Top 20 even.
Yeah, I still remember the moment. My wife was very pregnant.
Because, I mean...
And I scared her. That's back when I thought they were going to win the World Series that year.
The Blackhawks did win 3 Stanley Cups, right? But like they kind of had diminishing returns on all of them. The second one was probably the best one with the 17 seconds, 2 goals scored. Yeah. That was insane. That one is probably the top of the list for the Blackhawks. Even though it was the second one, it was so insane how they did it. And then, you know, you go down the list, Devin Hester's kickoff and return in the Super Bowl's up there. Even though they lost the game, that was such an incredible moment for Chicago fans.
Yeah.
Obviously the Cubs winning the World Series.
Sure.
And even in that same playoffs, that Kyle Schwarber moonshot that he hit over the scoreboard is probably up there on that list too.
When he came back from injury without like even going to rehab or anything, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden just crushing it.
And he just hits these shots out onto Waveland and you're just like, dude, we put up scoreboards to try to stop people from doing this and you're still doing it.
Yeah.
It was insane. I mean, so that's why I say there's a lot of great moments in Chicago sports history through the first 25 years of the century, and we're not even done yet. We still got another 2 years to go, but I think the stock off is very solidly in there.
Absolutely. And if we're stocking off for the players this week that were put on the board, players, there's only really a couple names that are, you know, top tier. But, I mean, can we talk about how good Andrew Benintendi was this week? He was just on another level.
For 1 week, he lived up to the contract.
10 RBI.
10 RBI, 2 homers, 1 walk-off.
I mean...
That walk-off, man, that was a piss missile. That thing.
Piss missile.
He crushed it.
Yeah, he did.
That thing, it jumped off his bat and you knew. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's been a long time. Maybe even since the stock-off, since the White Sox. No, Brian Goodwin had that one.
Oh yeah,
That Goodwin was a good win.
But I remember the headlines in the paper. Yeah, good win. But I'm bumped. Tommy Pham, honorable mention, coming up and hitting well. Gavin Sheets continues to crush the ball.
Yeah,
I mean those are really the names right there.
Tommy Pham has injected life into this team, man.
Yeah. Undefeated as a member of the White Sox, but that may be coming to a close. The Twins lead 3-2 in the ninth inning.
Yes, so we are headed to the bottom of the ninth.
We shall see what happens.
But guess who's coming to the plate? Andrew Benintendi. Can he continue the great week? That'd be a hell of a time for
another
it.
Another walk-off. Well, he can't. Actually, he can't.
You can tie it.
But again, big week out of, you know, the last 7 days. Fetty's looked really good. I mean, he's thrown 14 innings, only 3 earned runs, 20 strikeouts. He had a heck of a week. Fetty tops this list. Chris Flexen looked really good.
Flexen actually has looked pretty solid.
Tim Hill had a good week. I mean, yeah. Hey, I mean, we'll take the wins wherever we can get them, Zen.
Yeah, you do what you can.
And we just got word from the Parisi. It sounds like he will not be making the show tonight, folks. So
it's all right. Obligations take place.
Zim's like, yeah, I got obligations to eat my Sunday in the freezer.
Yeah, I got a Sunday in the freezer I'm trying to get to.
Is it Dairy Queen or is it a local ice cream
spot? It is Dairy Queen.
Oh, the DQ?
It's the brownie batter blizzard.
Oh, nice. Baseball. See, I'm flat out old school, Zim. I go with the chocolate shake from Dairy Queen.
Excuse me. The chocolate shake. Dude, I don't know. I don't go to Dairy Queen too often.
The chocolate shake from Dairy Queen for me is like the top of the mountain.
Gotcha. I understand.
Yeah, if you haven't tried it, you gotta try it at least once.
Yeah, I'm not a big sweets and desserts person, generally speaking. So
again, I like my ice cream in the summer. I'm kind of with you, but I like it a little bit more than just a little bit.
Yeah, I get it.
Although they're trying
if you serve me ice cream out of a tiny baseball helmet, I would eat it every single day of the week, though.
What about a giant baseball helmet?
No.
You don't want to do the
big... That sounds like a stomach ache.
Well, you don't eat it yourself. You have to share it, but yeah.
No, I don't share ice cream.
Then they get the little helmet for sure.
Can I have a bite? Absolutely not.
Although DQ is trying to get me to switch. I always get the chocolate shake. I probably won't try it, but they do have a Nutter Butter shake now.
Ooh, that sounds pretty good.
If it was a Nutter Butter with a little bit of chocolate, I'd probably try it. But I'm just worried that I'm not going to like it, and I'm going to be like, I should have got the chocolate chicken.
Just instant regret. Yeah.
Like, I like peanut butter chocolate as much as the next guy. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, if you look through, like, my DNA, I'm probably part of the Reese's family. If they are even a family, I don't even know.
If that's a real family. Who knows?
Now I have to look it up.
All right. We've gone through who the put it on the board players of the week are.
Yeah. And at this point, we might as well do our pick to click.
I was going to say, who's our picks to click?
First off, I should probably find the video. Here it is in this week's pick to click. So I won, so that means I get to go first. I have a 3-1 commanding lead, which I never thought I'd ever say that.
It's fine. You'll blow it.
Oh, I probably will. Oh, I don't even know who to go with. I'm gonna go with the new boy in town. I'm gonna take a shot on Tommy Pham.
I like it.
I feel like I'll ride that hot hand. I have not looked at his stat line tonight, but I don't even know if he started.
All right. And Vinny has selected the big baby himself, Eloy.
You're taking Eloy? Nice.
That's Vinny's pick.
Oh. Oh, I see how it works. He responds to you instantaneously when you send a text.
Yes. No, yeah. When I text him, he responds really quickly. It must be a you problem.
It's definitely a me problem.
So that leaves me to pick somebody, and I want to take Fetty. I'm just debating if it's a good idea to take a pitcher who only gets one start.
I thought about it, and I scared myself away from it.
Yeah. Damn. Sorry. Tommy Pham almost just drove in the game-tying run.
Right after
What a way to start the week that would have been. Oh, man. You guys took all the good players.
There's a bunch of statistic leaders on this team that are still available, for the record.
Give me Gavin Sheets.
I knew you were going to take Sheets. Give me Gavin. I thought about him.
Why not?
I like it, man. So recap, Zim's got Gavin Sheets, Vinny's got Eloy, and I went with Tommy Pham.
So fantastic. When you're ready to roll it, the guaranteed take, I have a genuine question on this one.
I do have it ready.
Yeah.
So let's dive into this week's guaranteed take.
I tell you, is Gavin Sheets finally becoming the player we thought he could be? Or is this team really just that bad?
I think he is becoming the player we thought he could be, and I can tell you why.
All right. I want to hear it. Yeah.
It's because he's playing every day.
You know, and it makes a lot of sense. And he's playing at a position he's comfortable at.
That too.
Yeah.
He's in his natural position. Mm-hmm. He's getting every day at bats. Can you imagine if this guy was on the Yankees.
Right.
His RBI total would probably, he'd probably be in like the top 25 of the league. I'm not just blowing smoke.
No, I mean, I completely agree. It's a shame he doesn't get more opportunities with guys on base. But you have to put guys on base in order to do that. So, I mean, that's all there is to it, really. Quick update on the game. The Sox are down 3-2, bottom nine, runners on the corners and two outs. Braden Shoemaker has just come in as a pinch runner. And Corey Lee is the batter. So
they're going to stick we'll with see Corey how this Lee. One
finishes. Well, Grossman just pinch hit for somebody. I don't remember who, but
I never thought I had that in my bingo card. Grossman pinch hitting for anybody.
Nicky Lopez threw down a sack bunt earlier. You want to talk about things on your bingo card, but
did you know he's from Naperville?
Yeah. Did you know Cole Kmet's also from the Chicagoland area?
Do you know? We should have a drink every time I say that on the broadcast. I'd never be sober.
Yeah. The Chicagoland native. You know, they love the Chicago area guys, but man, I'm tired of hearing about it. TJ Edwards is from Chicago.
Would be great if they were actually good.
Yeah. Did you know that Derrick Rose was from Chicago too?
Are you kidding?
Yeah. Wow.
You're kidding. No way. Did you know that a Chicago style hot dog doesn't have ketchup on it?
What?
I had a hot dog for dinner today.
Oh my goodness. Corey Lee just freaking whiffed at a curveball to end the game. Oh my God. That thing was up there for like 5 minutes and he whiffed at it.
The winning streak ends on the air. Aptly, the winning streak ends on air during the show titled Tree in a Row.
What are you talking about? The winning streak just extended to 8 games.
Yeah.
The Twins. They've now won 8 in a row.
Oh, those bastards.
And it's probably going to keep going. That sucks. Oh, well, it is what it is. The Sox, they made it a game. They were 90 feet away from tying the game up. Unfortunately, this is what happens when you field a subpar team. Like I said earlier, it would be really great if they would bring up some of these young guys and let them develop so that maybe it didn't take Gavin Sheets 4 seasons to finally look like the player we thought he is.
Yeah.
So that guys like Garrett Crochet can, you know, cut their teeth and become an ace.
No doubt.
So we can cut our losses on guys like Andrew Vaughn and just say like, look, we missed on this one. He was a great hitter in high school and college. And unfortunately it didn't translate, you know,
that's the understatement.
I mean, it just is what it is. And to me, it's all in the coaching. It has been for a long time and it continues to be, you know, a lot of people say that, you know, the La Russa hire was the right one in retrospect, seeing how bad this team has gotten with Pedro. And maybe that's true. But ultimately, Tony also didn't develop these guys. And his staff around didn't. And that's kind of the damning remark of all of it, is that none of these guys have developed players. And it's what got Jerry fired, you know? It wasn't the fact that he didn't win. It wasn't the fact that he didn't fill the stadium. It was the fact that he didn't develop this talent. It was the fact that the ownership group kept throwing money away, literally throwing money away on players like Eloy, who is a good to above average player, on Luis Robert Jr., who has every opportunity, all of the tools to be a superstar in this league. And when White Sox fans say, we got a superstar, everybody just pats him on the head and says, yeah, you sure do, little guy. You know, like.
Yeah, it's tough sledding. It is what it is.
They take a guy called the Cuban Otani, and he can't even get out of the minors. So it's just frustrating. It's an organizational failure. It has been. It continues to be. And it feels like as long as Chris Getz is the guy in charge, it will be in the future. I know it's very early into his tenure. It's very early into his career. A 3-game win streak is probably the biggest win of the year for this club. It will not be. They have. They will. They'll win a few here and there. It's baseball.
Yeah, they'll win a lot of second games in the doubleheader.
That's kind of it. Yeah.
Well, it's going to be a long season, but hey, they won 3 in a row. They lost on air with us today. Hey, we talked about them for an hour and 15 minutes, and we didn't turn to stone. So
we had a good time, and I think that this 3-game win streak highlights the best parts of this team just as much as the 7-game losing streak highlighted the low parts of this team. You know, you need players to come through, and the White Sox don't have those guys.
Oh, yeah.
And when they do, you know, have the moments of those guys, it happens.
It happens.
So,
heck, man, it's been fun though. It's been fun talking White Sox and not dreading it. 2 weeks in a row. You got anything exciting going on non baseball related these days? Any new photography stuff? Or
I'm sorry, I just got a message. What were you saying about photography stuff?
I said anything new these days that's not baseball related, any new photography stuff, anything else?
Not at the moment. Haven't had time recently. Very busy with life. Coming up on the end of the semester for school. So
nice.
Just wrapping up, trying to focus up there and graduate.
That's what it's all about, baby.
Yeah. How about you? Anything exciting happening?
It's been real busy with work, as I alluded to earlier. No, not really, man. Just enjoying my wife and kid and dog. And the weather was pretty nice this weekend. Got to go outside a little bit and went to the library and, you know, played outside. Water tables, as you know, are all the jam for kids.
Yeah. My kid's got one. I don't know. I saw this really cool this really cool tip about when your kids get older and they're not as interested in the water tables anymore. You fill them with sand and you make it like a standing sandbox.
Cool.
I'm like, man, my little guy loves like cars and tractors and things like that. I'm like, a little sandbox for him, like where he could stand and play instead of having to like get down in it and get all dirty, nasty. And, you know, I'm shaking sand out of his socks and his pockets for a week.
It's a good idea, man. I like that.
Yeah. So we got an old water table I might try it with, but we'll see.
You can get a bag of sand for cheap at the store.
We'll see what the wife approval factor is on it first.
Yeah, because sand can get everywhere.
Yes, yes.
Like Anakin Skywalker, he hates sand. speaking of which, this Friday is the 25-year anniversary of The Phantom Menace.
That is upsetting.
Yeah, I saw that in theaters when I was a kid.
I was in kindergarten.
I was not. I was older than that. I could do the the math's not that hard. I was 10.
Oh,
I was like, I'm like, oh, let me do the math. I'm like, oh, wait a second. That's easy.
You're 5 years older than me. Yeah. So, I tell you, I gave Star Wars an honest chance several years ago. Like, I think I've made it clear I'm not really a Star Wars fan. I've always thought the lore behind it was cool. I've thought the concept behind it was cool, but I just personally can't get into it. And so years ago, probably about almost 10 years ago at this point, I sat down, I gave him a real chance. This was before the newer 3 came out. I think the second movie, The Clone Wars or whatever it is.
Oh, Attack of the Clones.
It's the worst thing I've ever seen. It's terrible.
So it's a very
Star Wars fans agree, but
yes, we agree. I will say out of all the movies, it's the one that does the most world building, like
right.
In terms of like establishing like politics and stuff.
And
like,
I understood
it's the why most political movie, but I agree with you. I've fallen asleep during that movie probably more times than I could count.
Yeah. Yeah, it is what it is. You know, like I said, I gave them all a fair chance. The original trilogy is exactly as I remember, which is a good story, but cheesy for me.
They're all, I mean, I love them all, but yeah, I hear you.
And those first three, hey man, they were awesome when they came out when I was like a kid, but watching them as an adult, I was like, this is not my thing. Not my jam.
It's not for
everybody. What it is. Yeah. I gave it an honest shot. I really did. As you could tell, I'm more of a Lord of the Rings kind of guy. So
my precious. My dad wants to know if you have any new guitars.
I do not. I have not bought any new guitars in quite a while. The most recent instrument that I've purchased is a ukulele, which I bought about 2 years ago now. I haven't really been on the acquisition path with any of that lately. Nice. I built up my camera equipment and everything.
Sweet.
And until I get a new camera, I probably won't be buying anything else for it. I'll probably just keep using what I'm using because it works really well. I've got a nice little setup for what it is. It's pretty compact and easy to take around with me. It's good enough that when people ask me to do stuff, I don't feel embarrassed or like I don't want to bring this dinky little thing. No, I feel like I've got what I need to do, what I want to do. So yeah, I haven't really been on the acquisition path with anything right now.
There you go. All good, man. Yeah. The last thing I got is that I showed you that
Fender.
Yeah. That Fender, Redondo acoustic. Yep.
Those are nice guitars. I mean, especially at the price point, they're excellent. Anybody who's a guitar player out there looking for a cheap acoustic, the Fender Redondos are fantastic.
Yeah, and they're crazy. They were crazy on sale. I don't know if they are anymore, but I got that one for like $140.
Yeah.
Which is insane because it retails for $450.
Now, does that have electric in it as well?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So an acoustic electric for under $150, that sounds as good as those things do.
And it's got a Fishman preamp in it too.
Mm-hmm. Those Fishmans are good systems.
I was stunned. So I had to buy it. So
yeah.
And then the last thing I got before that was I got a ukulele when I was in Hawaii for my honeymoon 5 years ago.
Very nice.
I should probably look at it. It's probably still in the case.
Well, one of these days I'm going to start teaching the kids how to play. So I'm sure the ukulele will come in handy for that.
Yeah, there you go. Little fingers.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, we've reached the point for shout outs and then we're going to get out of here.
Absolutely.
What do you got for shout outs, my friend?
Just again, a big shout out to the family making everything possible. Without them, wouldn't be able to do the things that I'm doing in my life, school, work, plan to move, all that good stuff. You know, a big shout out to the people at my work. A lot of them have been going through a lot of things lately, but they still show up. They still do what they can. They support the team and we support them. And it's not often you find a healthy workplace like that, where people show up because they want to show up, not because they have to show up. So just a big shout out to all of them, everybody who's going through something. And I know that there's people who listen to our show who are going through, you know, personal tragedies and hardships and everything. And you know, big shout out to all of you. Keep on keeping on. Stay strong. Hold tough. Times get better.
Hell yeah, man. I love it. Positivity Zim today. I like the vibes as he smiles off camera. I like it. my shout outs will remain the same. My beautiful wife, Catherine, my 2-year-old and change daughter, Audrey, and my Great Dane Maverick. Love you all very much. Crazy how kids grow, man.
Yeah.
They don't prep you for that. It goes by real fast. But I love the 2-year-old phase, man.
You know, everybody calls it the terrible twos.
It's not.
It's not. It's when they turn three.
It's the terrific, terrific twos for us. But
what? My little guy's about to turn three, and oh my God, in the last month, it's like he flipped a switch. So enjoy it, Joe. Two is my favorite.
I am enjoying it for sure. It is a lot of fun. Every day is just a blessing for sure. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, a huge shout out to everyone that was in the chat tonight. And to you, Zim, for hanging out with me all night. Always fun talking ball with you. And shout out to Vincenzo. Couldn't be with us tonight, but here in spirit. And of course, Aldo Gandia and everyone else on the network for the amazing draft coverage all last week. They were on the air pretty much for 3 days straight and then some. Of course, you got Gabriel talking football. You got Dan and Aldo coming up this week. Weekend sports betting tips with the Tooch. You got Willis Twin Towers. I'm sure Buffon 55. I don't know if they're doing a show this week or not, but tons of great stuff on the network. Subscribe, like, all of the above. It goes a long way for us. We really appreciate it. I'm glad everyone enjoyed the show. On that note, Zim, they may have lost tonight, but we won. We had a fun show talking about a little bit of everything. We are going to get out of here. But as always, no matter how bad or good, they won three in a row and then they lost one tonight. We're always going to be rooting for our boys. So for the South Burbs Hitmen, I'm Joe Mandel. That's Steven Zim Zimmerman. And somewhere in the distance is Vinny Parisi. He'll be back next week. But no matter what, as always, let's go White Sox. Let's win some games. And we'll see you next week. Have a great day, everybody. Adios, and thanks for tuning in.